to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses. We must pray together as a church for the Spirit of God to come and move in our lives and make a difference in our communities. Without it, we won't get saved. Sunday after Sunday, nothing is going to change. People won't get saved. But we have to seek that. We need the Spirit to be spiritually alive, we learned. We need to be controlled by the Spirit, that Jesus is our master. We need to be empowered with the Spirit to testify about Jesus Christ. And as the body of Christ, how we respond matters. Some responded with amazement, some with mocking. And so as we look at this today, we look at this passage today, as we're coming in, Peter answers. Remember, they ended and said, well, some of these people are drunk. What's going on here? And so when we talk about the movement of the Spirit and we talk about being empowered, I want to remind us again and again and again, what's the defining marks of someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit, who is empowered by the Holy Spirit? It's bold proclamation of the gospel. It's surrendered holy living. It's bringing all the attention to Christ instead of self. Telling of the mighty works of God so we become arrows pointing to Jesus. Flashing signs. And so last week we explored the need for the believer, but this week we're going to look at living in the last days. And this only further amplifies and highlights our need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter begins in verse 14. He says, and Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What a beautiful passage of Scripture. And as we look at this today, we need the Holy Spirit. Now imagine if you were having a guest come to your house today. It might have been a long-awaited family member. What would you have done all week? You would have prepared. You would have pulled out. You made sure every nook and cranny was clean. Everything was neat. You had all the proper food. You had all the proper things for that. And you know, some of us might get more obsessive than others, maybe like people like me that have that more high-strung personality. If I know somebody's coming, especially if a family's coming and we got to get the lawn mowed, there's not going to be a weed in the yard for dad to say anything about. Everything is going to be perfect, right? But here's the thing. When it comes to the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, it's in context with the soon return of Jesus Christ. Are you excited and expecting and waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus? You need to be empowered with the Spirit. I need to be empowered with the Spirit. We need to get ready. The guest is coming. The bridegroom is coming. And so we have this passage that we're looking at today. First of all, I want to highlight the coming of the Holy Spirit must be understood in light of the prophetic promise to the body of Christ. So he's basically, Peter begins to give a sermon to the people that were standing around because everybody heard the speaking in tongues. Everybody heard them speaking in their own known language. Like, what is going on? Are these people drunk? Well, how can drunk people? I've never heard a drunk person talk cohesively anyways, another language that they don't even speak. I have trouble speaking my wife's native language, Russian and Ukrainian. But Here's the mindset today, and even in the church. When the Spirit empowers the people of God, well, they're fanatics. And yes, there is fanaticism. There is like people that go to the extreme and things like that and are doing crazy things to draw attention to themselves. But if you begin to share the gospel with people around you and not care, you're going to be labeled as a fanatic. You might even say, are you drunk today? Did you forget you're at work? Did you forget you're at school? Did you forget you're in the marketplace? He says it's not for drunkenness, but it's a promise fulfilled. And that promise is found in the prophet Joel chapter 2. He says, and he's quoting from there, this very same thing, and it will come to pass afterward. And this passage in Acts is where it comes to pass. This is not something that's been over with and done. Now keep in mind, he says, the last days. Are we still living in the last days? Has Jesus come back yet? No, he hasn't. Here's what's going to happen. My people are going to begin to prophesy. They're going to begin to dream dreams. They're going to have visions. And not only that, even servants. So it doesn't matter. It's no respecter of persons, male, female, whether you work at Burger King or whether you are a CEO of a company. It doesn't matter your status. He says, my people will be empowered by the Spirit to give prophetic word leading up to the coming of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on and talks about the end times and the wonders in the heaven and the earth, the blood and the fire and the smoke. The sun's going to be turned to darkness, the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now you think about a woman in childbirth. The doctor asks, and I remember an old Bill Cosby show, how far apart are they? When he was playing the role of the doctor. Those birth pains, as it gets closer to the birth, get closer and closer and closer together. Brothers and sisters, we are living in the day and age, and obviously throughout the earth, if you look throughout history and study history, there are seasons where everything's good in the weather, and then all of a sudden you have tornadoes and hurricanes and things like that, and earthquakes and all that sort of thing, and it's spread out. Well, how do we know when the time of the Lord is drawing near? It's going to be less spread out. It's going to be boom, 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 and we're getting closer and closer to that time, and are you ready for the return of Jesus Christ? The coming of the Holy Spirit. And when he mentions this, he says, I will pour out my Spirit. That word pour literally means a gushing out. And the emphasis of the Greek word here is with the originator, the person that's coming from, that the gushing is coming from. And that's another problem that we have in the churches today, and especially in America, is that the moves of the Holy Spirit get hijacked by our flesh. And the reason for that is that we are looking at the gushing out instead of the one who's giving the gushing out, which is the Holy Spirit. And so here's the thing. It is a pouring out. Jesus says, I'm going to give you the Spirit without measure. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And here's where we talked about last week, the difference between a Christian that just lives status quo and a Christian that is overflowing with the life of God. We need the endowment of power. And I want to just ask that we would pray together as a church. You will pray for me and I will pray for you until we are gushing. Until, you know, it doesn't take a big rainstorm or a flood to get Rocky Step, that's where I live, Cow Creek. Rocky Step Road flooded like it was this week for a brief moment. We're talking about Christians that are gushing out the things of God, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Not just a momentary flood, but a continuing stream that never ends. It is for all people. He says, I will pour it out. So what does this mean for us? First of all, we're encouraged to look in expectation for this pouring out of the Spirit. To look around how God is working on the earth. To be in a place where it's like, okay, You know, I've lived a lot of my Christian life, and maybe you have too, just kind of getting through. He says this is a different way of living. It's looking with expectation. In those last days, I will pour out my spirit. It is a promise that God has made. It's a promise that God has kept. And it's a promise that God will continue to keep. And another thing is that we need to realize how serious this really is, brothers and sisters. He says in the last days, this is going to happen. This is serious business. That means that we're going to be tempted to get caught within all the entrapments and the things of the world, the busyness of life and career and family. And we need all those things, and all those things are great and good, but we have career, we must have family, we must have activities, we must have schooling in light of the return of Jesus Christ in the expectation of that. This is serious business. So if we're going to be Christians, if we're going to follow Jesus Christ, it is that focus on the Holy Spirit. And also know that this promise is not just for Billy Graham or D.L. Moody, who got up on the mountain and prayed, and some of the other great preachers, Jonathan Edwards, and they received the endowment of power from the Holy Spirit. It's not just for them, it's for you and me. He says, a promise is for you. Peter's preaching to unsaved believers. The promise is for you. That didn't make sense, unsaved believers. Well, maybe it did, because they were about to believe, right? 3,000 souls came to Christ. We'll just say that. Number two, the coming of the Holy Spirit brings supernatural power and alignment with the soon return of Jesus Christ. It's important that Christians live in alignment with the coming of Jesus. And the way to do that is to flow in these giftings that he gives. He talks about prophecy. He talks about visions. And he talks about dreams. And I'm going to explain what those things are in as we go through, because there's a lot of misunderstanding of what prophecy is. Now, what would have happened if I would have come up to somebody, and I did this once in a church. I was preaching up in a church in Michigan, and there was an older man and woman, and I said, you know, what if God told you to divorce? I came up to you and said, God told me you need to divorce your husband and come and marry me. Well, to my shock, the lady said, well, I guess I'd have to do it. That's a false form of prophesying. And we're going to get to that in a moment. But there is a true prophecy that every believer, in fact, in Corinthians, it says to desire the gift of prophecy above all else. And that is simply speaking a timely, biblical, an appropriate word under the inspiration, or if you want to use the word prompting, of the Holy Spirit, or say, the Holy Spirit laid this on my heart prior to knowing about a situation, need, or an event. So in other words, it's speaking a truthful, specific application of God's word in a supernatural and timely way. Maybe perhaps an example of that would have been last Sunday when God laid a word on our sister's heart to go and pray around Misha's house. He was so blessed and encouraged. My family was blessed. Thank you for listening to God. And I have to say it and get that out. But when God lays something on your heart, brothers and sisters, and our joys and concerns time ought to not just be joys and concerns. They ought to be words from the Lord to the congregation. What is God speaking to you right now in your life? What has he given you in the riches of your devotions and the time he spends in the Word? Would you open up yourself to be used by the Spirit? And, you know, I've been told so many times, and I've learned this lesson in my life many, many times, and I will share this example till I die. Maybe you've heard it before, but when I was at Moody in college studying, I was walking down to the Moody Church to go to church, and the Lord laid it on my heart that and he gave me even a picture of what this person would look like. You need to go and talk and pray for this person. So I was walking down the street thinking, okay, well, I'm just probably making this up. And lo and behold, I look across the street, and there was the guy. Guess what I did? I marched. No, I didn't. I disobeyed the Lord, went on to church, didn't speak. That was a huge lesson for me. From then on, God had to work on my life to obey and listen to the voice of the Lord. Because I thought, well, I'm just making this stuff up. And then I was like, I hope God doesn't show me that person, right? Because I'm going to have to go up and get out of my comfort zone and go talk to him. He did disappoint. Brothers and sisters, if we get up on our feet in the morning, say, fill me with the Holy Spirit, show me who you want me to minister to today, He will. When you come and get ready to come to church on Sunday morning, and you say, show me how I can uplift and encourage my brothers and sisters in the Lord, He will give it to you. You know, I want to talk about this prophecy in Corinthians. He says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For the one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in his spirit. So he's basically saying speaking in tongues is for your personal benefit, and every believer can have that and have that encouragement in their prayer life. But he says, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Now look around this room. Don't you want your brothers and sisters to be built up? Don't you want them to be encouraged? Don't you want them to have consolation when they're going through difficult times? He says, the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now, I want you all to speak in tongues. And that's what Paul says. He says, I'm not saying don't do it. I want you all to do that. I want you all to have that prayer language. But even more, to prophesy, the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up for the glory of the kingdom of God. You see, the purpose of prophecy is what if God lays something on your heart and say, you know what, I just feel like somebody's struggling with this. What if somebody walks in that's not saved or just off the street, which we, a number of occasions we've had people that do that just because we exist in this building on this road. That's what convicts sinners and brings them to Jesus Christ, because they know God is real, because God is speaking. You didn't know that about them or to speak that up over them. It comes from the Lord. Don't be afraid to practice that. Now, I want to talk about false prophesying, because the example I gave you, well, God told me you're supposed to marry you. That comes from the flesh or even demonic. Here's how you can tell the difference. These are traits. And I just sat and God just made some things just clear to me as I prayed. He says it leads to self-glorification. So remember where we talked about all things point to Jesus? When someone prophesies in the flesh, it's for them to look good. Okay? The second thing is it leads people down a rabbit hole away from the Jesus Christ or the focus being on Him. There are some people that have little prophecies that are just tangents. And if it takes the body of Christ away from their relationship with Jesus and the focus on the gospel of Jesus, that's how you know. Another reason. It leads to someone obsessing about a rabbit hole, which becomes their personal soapbox. Have you ever run into any of those kind of people? It's the same thing over and over again. And it becomes their personal, and it becomes a distraction, and it hijacks the church from the Great Commission. It could be any number of little tangents that will get the church off. The Lord told us that we need to dance on one leg around this olive tree 5 times, and the Lord's going to answer prayer. And then the next person is like, I'm going to outdo them. And the Lord told me that I'm going to jump, run across these chairs. And if I break my leg, the Lord's going to heal me. That's called presumption. You see what it's taken away from? It's putting the attention on the people and away from the gospel. A word of prophecy, as we find from the Old Testament, it tells people what they want to hear in their sinful desires or flesh. Some prophecies are not always what I want to hear or what I want to share with people, right? Because it might offend them. But a lot of times prophets that have a ministry, they call their I'm a prophet and this sort of thing. They're always telling people kind of what they want to hear. God has the best life for you. He's going to prosper you. He's going to give you money. And he's going to, if you give money to me so I can buy 3 jets and a big mansion and all that sort of thing. Sinful desires of the flesh. False prophecy also twists God's word or takes it out of context. And that's why we need to be people of God's word. We shouldn't be afraid of prophesying because we have the word of God that we can compare. He says to weigh all things. Now here's another thing. It has the appeal of a new doctrine. Now we've encountered different things with some of the things going on, the Bethel movement and all that sort of thing, and they have the appearance of coming up with a new doctrine and a new way of looking at Scripture that the Church of Jesus Christ in over 2,000 years supposedly overlooked and didn't discover. That's demonic false prophecy. So if it's something new, there's nothing new under the sun, the Scripture is our guide. It usually brings someone under the control and manipulation of the one prophesying rather than leading someone to Jesus Christ. So in other words, it leads a person to follow the prophet's word than following Christ. And there's some of these prophetic type people that have great followings. And even if it goes against Scripture, they like, well, that surely that guy, he's innocent. They just love him so much and they follow him and they just take every word, hook, line, and sinker. You're not to take anyone's word except the word of the Lord, hook, line, and sinker, even what I say, because I have flesh too. So you have to compare everything to the word of God. But you know, prophecy that's used to manipulate people to get them to do the things you want them to do, that's demonic. And that is the spirit of witchcraft, and witchcraft is manipulating and controlling people to do things that you want them to do. And here's another thing I want to point out. Social media. We are living in an age where everyone's seeking to follow. Oh, I just love to watch this podcaster. And you look at some of these podcasters and they're even, some of them are pastors from mega churches and things like that, but they are literally intoxicated with their own fame and popularity and how many likes and subscribers that they have. You know, just because someone gets online and does a Facebook post or is a podcaster, it doesn't mean that they know anything about the Word of God. You know, I tell people, and I'm going to encourage people even more, and some of my friends, and especially among young men, they're like, I'm following this podcaster. Well, he's great. Well, I listened, and I was like, well, there's a few good nuggets there, but the most of it was just a guy sitting around giving his opinions. Brothers and sisters, we must get in the Word of God, and we must hear from the Lord. It's so important. You know, listen to the preaching verse by verse of the Word of God. Why go to all these random people that come out of somewhere and they haven't studied the Word of God when we have Alistair Begg and we have Chuck Swindoll and we have all these great preachers, and you can even have access on the internet to all the old sermons from all the great preachers in the past. Not people sitting around giving their opinions. So make sure we don't become that person. There's something that I want to mention real briefly, which is a whole nother sermon. But did you know that when you're born again, you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit? And that's what it talks about in 1 John. He says, I write these things to those that are trying to deceive you, but the anointing that you've received from him abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it is taught you, abide in him. Now, I remember being a part of different, going and visiting either different religions or churches, and you get up and you sit down and you listen to what's being said and you immediately feel sick to your stomach. Have you ever experienced that before? There were times that I felt like I needed to run out or throw up or whatever. But that's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that should lead you to start investigating in God's word and say, is what he's saying true? Is what's happening in this church really real? Check it out. That's the anointing of the Spirit. So the coming of the Spirit brings this power of prophesying. But I want to mention visions. Visions are to see something physically and are mentally an appearance that is prompted or inspired from the Holy Spirit. And so then there's dreams. That's something prompted or inspired by the Holy Spirit in our physical sleep. Now, I am hearing countless stories, especially the young men, young women. And I had some of those when I was younger, when I was a kid, those dreams about the coming of Jesus Christ. Do you know what God is doing? He's stirring up his people, preparing them for the return of Jesus. And I don't know what's going on with this thing. Yeah, we have to look into that. Brothers and sisters, do you realize right now that in Middle Eastern countries where Muslims are just hardcore Muslims are having dreams and they're having visions of Jesus Christ and they're getting saved? That's what he's talking about. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. This is a end times thing. This is a preparation for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could go into all kinds of details about dreams and visions. And I'm just going to say just these brief things now. But when you have dreams, some of our dreams are just psychological because we had some weird food the night before. But there are some dreams, and if it's a dream that comes from the Lord, one, obviously it lines up with Scripture, but two, you will remember it. It's not going to be fuzzy, and the meaning is going to be very clear. It might encourage you to get into some passage of the Bible. It might encourage you into some ministry or whatever it might be. But it's very clear. The dreams that I have that are all discombobulated, I can't remember all the details. But the ones that truly come from the Lord, so clear, so vivid. God is not the author of confusion. He is the Spirit of truth. Three, the coming of the Holy Spirit leads up to the great day of the return of Jesus. Now, then he mentions these signs and wonders that we're dealing with. He's talking about wonders in the heavens. And that is something so strange that it causes people to watch and marvel, and that appeals to the imagination. As we get closer and closer to the return of Jesus Christ, we're going to see more wonders in the heaven that stir the imagination of people. Oh, wait a minute, I better think about this Jesus thing. And then he mentions signs on the earth. That's a distinguishing mark or indicator, which is usually an unusual occurrence that rises above the common course of nature. In other words, it's a miracle, and that appeals to the understanding. And you know why? Because when something happens outside of scientific order, it makes people really question and think about God. Brothers and sisters, God doesn't want his church to be weak. In fact, as we get, if you read further in Acts, when the church gathered and prayed for boldness, they said, stretch out your hand to perform signs and wonders. Not that we seek after those things, but we seek after Jesus, and the gospel is accompanied with these signs. Because signs anticipate a remarkable event which is soon to happen, which is the return of Jesus. And not only that, miracles and wonders by which God authenticates the people sent by him, or by which people prove that the cause they're pleading is God. Now, again, we have to be careful with that because there's a lot of people that have learned how to do fake miracles. You know, there's the big trick where someone has one leg longer than the other and they have the preacher has them sit down, and while he's pushing on one foot, he's pulling the other foot out. And he kind of pulls the shoe out a little bit. I know there's preachers that a lot of people follow that do those sort of charlatan tricks. You know, in Matthew 24, this is what he's talking about. Brothers and sisters, one day the sun was going to be darkened, and the moon is not going to give its light, and the stars will fall from the heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of heaven. Brothers and sisters, when we look at it, he says, before the day of the Lord in the end of verse 20 comes, the great and magnificent day, that literally means great, which means loud and very strong. And not only that, he adds the word magnificent, which means to shine light and to appear and to be very notable and stand out. Couldn't see that word. He said, it's not just a coming. It is going to blow our minds. The trumpet blast, the coming of Jesus Christ, it is going to be memorable. And there's a lot of people that is going to say, there he is, there Jesus is. You're going to know when he comes because it's great and it's glorious. It's remarkable. The coming of the Holy Spirit leads to this great day of the return of Jesus with signs and wonders. And then last of all, the coming of the Spirit ushers in an era of gospel proclamation by the body of Christ. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know what? I'm going to get rid of this because it's distracting right now. Because brothers and sisters, this is what it all comes down to. It's very important. When we say the name of Jesus, call upon his name, that literally means to appeal to him in worship. We're not just calling out, Jesus, save me from hell or save me from these problems in my life. I am calling out because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the one that I must bow down before and worship. Amen. And then there's the name thing. When we just sang that song, I speak the name of Jesus. You say, what's in the name of Jesus? What is so powerful in the name of Jesus that even people that are unsaved, when they invoke the name of Jesus, powerful things can happen? The name carries the authority, all the authority. And Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. Go and preach the gospel. And it also encapsulates the character of Jesus Christ as being God. Everything that you can think of about him. He's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's almighty, he's fully God. And so when we're calling on the name, it's just another name. We're not just saying Jesus Christ flippantly. We're calling on all the authority of heaven and earth and all the character of God Almighty to come and save us. And then he says to call on the name of the Lord, which means he is a supreme in authority and he's the master. Is he your master? You see, this is what the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is all about. This is what it comes down to, is letting him lead. I'm not the master. My desires of the flesh are not the master. My family's not the master. My work is not the master. My school is not the master. My marketplace, the food is not the master. The sports that I love, music, is none of that is the master. Jesus Christ is Lord. And then only Jesus has the authority and the character to save. And there's a lot in that word salvation, which we, of course, we mean by having our sins forgiven and being born again. But it includes deliverance, safety, protection, healing, and literally to be made whole. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is coming back soon. And we have this wonderful, powerful gospel that God has given us to preach. I want to ask if our worship team will come today. The coming of the Holy Spirit has to be understood in the light of this promise. Are you waiting in expectation for the coming of the Lord? It brings power and alignment to the soon return to the body of Christ. It leads to this day of His return, and it ushers in this era of gospel proclamation. He who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So I want to encourage you today, brothers and sisters. You might say, well, we're just a few people. But when you have the God of the universe on your side, you have the Spirit of God controlling your impulses, every decision you make in your life, you can turn the whole valley upside down. Let me take that back. You can't. God can turn this valley upside down. I want to close with this verse, and I want to listen carefully. It's 1 Corinthians 1, 4-9. He says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in Him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Father, You said that we don't lack any gift. You've given us everything that we need for life and godliness through Your Word, through the power of the Spirit. So, Lord, I pray that You'd remove any barriers in our life that keep us from declaring You as Lord and surrendering to this empowerment. God, we invite You to have Your way in our lives. Jesus, I ask for a real move of the Spirit in my life and the lives of my brothers and sisters, so that we just can't stop sharing. We just can't stop speaking the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, come, we invite You in the name of Jesus.
Just stand with us. We're going to worship the Lord, and we just want to remind you again that if you need prayer, this altar is open at any time.
Holy. Jesus, I pray that you would bless every person that's here. God, I pray that as you empower us with your Spirit, that you would cause your people to move prophetically in alignment with your return. Lord, that you would take away our fears and open up our mouths to speak your words of life, to preach the gospel. And Lord, I pray that you would bless your people, that you cause your face to shine upon them and give us peace, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. terrible if I stepped on them.
It's a part of our life. That's what it's happening. He had arthritis so bad he was 14 after he went to school.